just want to share with you a couple of thoughts before we leave this morning. Again, thank you for expending so much of your time and energy helping our kids to get ready. I hope you realize what a gift Pastor Debbie is to your children. She loves them. She loves the Lord. She teaches some truths that are going to follow them the rest of their lives. But this whole idea of a good story, we all love a good story. I love a good story. And, you know, it's I find myself just thinking about stories as I get older in life. And I even retell them sometimes. And like I'll be telling the staff something, and they say, well, you told us that 6 months ago. And I realize, uh-oh, I'm becoming my father. And, you know, we love a good story, but we get tired of a story after a while. You know, my wife, Irene, and my daughter, Taylor, they love the Hallmark Channel because they have the Christmas extravaganza that starts in Thanksgiving. And, you know, so once in a while I sit and try to enjoy it because I want to spend time with them. And it seems like either someone's won the cookie baking contest or someone's discovered the real meaning of Christmas is not prosperity. They all kind of seem the same, and I got tired of that same old story. I saw Tom Brady in person last week win his 201st football game. The greatest, there's a couple of us here. We're nuts. And I'll retell that down for the next few years. Oh, I was there. I'd never get tired of that. The truth of the matter, I will. It'll get to be an old story. Kind of ironically, you talk about that Hallmark stuff. We watched one last week, and I just said, I'm going to enjoy this. And I watched this story, and I worked real hard to really enjoy it, and just because I knew Irene and Taylor were loving it. We got to the end of it, and Taylor looked at her, she said, at the end, she said, thank goodness. And Irene looks at Taylor and says, yeah, I was kind of bored too. And I'd say, what? I mean, I put my heart into this. And I was right all the way along. You know, some stories, they just get old. My mom had dementia her last couple of years. And because her mind was unsettled, she would tell me stories with such enthusiasm that I had heard 30 and 40 times. And I would smile and say, Mom, that's really cool, and I'd listen to the story. But to be honest with you, I was tired of the story. But there's a story that never grows weary. And it's the story of Jesus Christ. It's the one story I've been hearing now in my seventh decade. No, I'm not 70-something, I'm 60-something. But I've heard this story again and again and again, and it never grows old. And something's interesting. One story that never grew old, my mom spent a lot of time in kind of a mental fog, but her clearest moment every morning was when she'd take out the Word of God and read it. And it'd be something that would take place that just would take place in her mind, and you could see that she was drinking it in. It still held a majesty. The fact of the matter is that the Bible is the greatest selling book of all time. It's been published in 349 languages, and it's estimated that in the last 200 years, they printed 5 billion Bibles and distributed them. And the story never goes old. And that Bible that is so popular has a central story that sits right in the middle of us, the story of Jesus Christ. And in Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read just a couple of verses, make a couple of comments, and you can get your watch, and I'll be done in 10. So hang on. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And I was thinking about this great story. It's a story we tell to our children on a regular basis. It's a story that 21 kids responded to. And we want you to know we tell them the story of Jesus every week in some way or another. Because I'm here to tell you, if you're honest with yourself, whether you know Jesus Christ or do not know Jesus Christ, in your heart you will admit, I need a story like the story of Jesus. Now, I don't know that we need to worry about people living in Venus knowing Jesus. I kind of laughed at that. I'm here to tell you, till the end of this world, the Jesus story will be the story that we all cling to. And why is it? Because we all love a good story? No, not really. Is it because we want to be good and do good? No, let's be honest. A lot of us struggle with being good and doing good. It's because we need the hope and the strength that comes from this story. A story of grace, of hope, and of love. The greatest story ever told and the story we keep telling. There are three little thoughts I want you to think about. It's good news. The angel said to them, for fear not, which really we should look at, fear. Our society is full of people full of fear. They're afraid. Some of you here today don't yet know how you're going to get through Christmas. Because outside the walls of the church and away from the public eye, there are all kinds of fears that haunt you. You know, you fear death. You fear the financial picture. You fear the loss of relationships. And Jesus is here to take away our fears. He brings us good news. A good story has to have good news. And it says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region in the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Most of us know that when Jesus came, he was announced by a star in the east. You know, a lot of us, and it was a light to them, but it wasn't a physical light. This morning, a beautiful sunrise. And a lot of people get up to a beautiful sunrise, but the light didn't help them. The light hurt. They had to wake up. They had to face the reality of a life that they were living, and they need good news. Jesus brings light that's far different than the light that we think of when we think of the lights above it. It's a light that lights up our hearts. Somehow, good news. God in the flesh, well over 300, maybe 365, some say, Old Testament prophecies spoke of the hope of Christ. And the initial fear in those shepherds was replaced by good news. Something else that goes with it, that he said there, I bring you good news of great joy. Something worth celebrating. In verse 11, he says, a Savior. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who was Christ the Lord. The Jews needed a Savior. They were in captivity. They were in the bondage of the Roman Empire. But more than that, they had not heard from God for 400 years. He said, you can celebrate because God has come to visit you in person. You see, we all have this dilemma. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That free gift of eternal life is because of the great story that we tell at Christmas time. And it's a powerful thing. And, it's amazing to me. For the first time in 4,000 years, Israel heard the story of the good news. There are all kinds of documented stories around the world happening today of a film called The Jesus Film that tells the story of Jesus. People who have never heard it, and they're overwhelmed with joy. So the question to ask yourself this morning, if you're not pursuing Jesus, if you're not embracing his story, where's your joy and how much joy do you really have? Do you really have that peace, that sense of lift in your heart that comes from knowing that you are in relationship with God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords? In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, it says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. I see crushed spirits every week. I see them on the street. I pulled into Sunday morning. I usually go very early in the morning, pick up a newspaper, read it for a few minutes, then come to the office and get my mind on the day and the activities of our day. And I watched this young man getting ready to get on the bus. And he absolutely was in darkness. It was all over his face. And I thought, that young man needs to know the story of Jesus. Because the story of Jesus comes down to the truth. He say, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. We have a great Savior. And I'm compelled to tell you what verse 14 says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Jesus Christ comes to bring peace. He's a peace giver. And he doesn't bring peace when you pay enough or go to church enough. This is your first time in church. Welcome. You're as much worthy before Christ as I am. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Jesus Christ comes with good news that we can't pay for. He freely gives. He gives to us a salvation that comes from knowing him by asking him into our hearts and lives. And you know something interesting happens at this church every Christmas Eve. This year we're going to have a Christmas Eve service at 4:30 and at 6 because we expect to be full, too full to do a one service. So for the first time we're doing two. And I promise you half the people that walk through that door never come to our church on a regular basis, but they show up on Christmas Eve. You know why? Because even when we aren't committed to him, many, many people are desperately hoping that the Christmas story is truly a Christ story. The Son of God in the flesh that can save us from the things that we struggle with. What a great Savior. There's a fascinating story in the Bible about Paul. And I close with this. Paul was in a great storm. By that time, a believer. And he was serving the Lord. And Paul was in a big storm. He was now a prisoner of the Roman Empire. He was headed to Rome to be put on trial. And this storm hit, and they thought they were going to sink, and the sailors tried to lower some lifeboats. And Paul said to them what they already knew. He saw the fear in their eyes. He said, you get in that lifeboat, you will drown. You stay in the boat. God has already told me he'll deliver every one of you. And for some reason, seasoned sailors cut the ropes and let the lifeboats drift away, and they stayed in the boat. And they grew more and more fearful, and the ship went aground, and they looked at, and they didn't know if they were going to make it. They were on a shoal being beaten. And they looked over at Paul, and Paul was eating. He was having a sandwich. The rest of them hadn't eaten in days. Paul said, you guys need to eat and get a little strength because we're all going to be rescued, and they were. I find that fascinating. In the midst of a storm, because they saw such amazing peace in the eyes of a man who was a prisoner of Rome, a whole ship full of men were saved. There's another interesting story about another storm. It's a story of a storm on the Sea of Galilee, and there were 12 disciples in a boat. Jesus was there with them. And a storm came up, and the Bible says it was fearsome, and they grew afraid. And they grew afraid and frustrated. They looked back in the back of the boat, and Jesus was sleeping. And they woke him up and they said, Lord, we're going to die. Don't you care? And I find that an interesting contrast. Men who had spent a number of days with Jesus and had seen his miracles, he was physically in the boat and he didn't trust him. Paul, who for years had persecuted and actually killed Christian people and saw to their death and imprisoned them, met Jesus on a road in a blinding right light and came to know him as his Savior. And years later, after he'd served him faithfully, was in a ship where Jesus wasn't physically present, but he knew that he was there and said, Jesus is with us, stick with me, and he will take care of you. And it's this thing of believing whether you have a great Savior or not. And whether your confidence this morning is in maybe, you know, the fact that you do a lot of good works, or the fact that you are religious, or the fact that you have a good bank account, or that you're popular deep down inside, you know, every one of those facts are fiction, because there is no peace. But if this morning your peace is in Jesus Christ, no matter what the storm, you feel safe. We want to tell you the story that we told your kids, those 21 kids that came to Jesus. And I want to tell you, if your child was one of those kids and they come home and told you what you did, don't doubt it for a second. It's the greatest gift you can give your child, the hope that comes in Christ. And we want that for you in this Christmas season. We're going to ask you to stand. If you know the song, you can sing it. If you don't, you can listen. But let's hear this celebration song, and our service will be dismissed.